Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening, and welcome to Ask the Pastor. Each week, as God permits, we are pleased to study the Word of God together, take your questions, and have a time of prayer for our country and you, our listeners. Tonight, however, is Thanksgiving evening, so naturally, we're going to take out some time to be thankful and celebrate God's blessings. As we do, let me take this moment to welcome our pastor, Dr. Charles Lyons, who we are pleased to have join us at this time.
Well, thanks, Jim, and it's great to be able to have this time to pause from the day's activities and celebrate Thanksgiving with our listeners.
Now, Pastor, I know that you said celebrate, but what are those sounds in the background I hear?
Well, Jim, those are the sounds of Zydeco, or if you prefer, a little Cajun music. While you're holding down the fort in Houston, I've taken the program on the road to Cajun land, more specifically Lafayette, Louisiana, and the surrounding area. By the way, this is a land of great food, warm people, and tender hearts.
Well, I thought we had a great Thanksgiving day here. In fact, let me tell you about my day. What can I say? Had family over. We had more food than you can imagine. We talked about how blessed we are. We shared a great meal. And then, tradition, we watched football. It was wonderful because we won. We went in overtime. So our entire family just enjoyed a great Thanksgiving day.
Oh, that's great.
Now, Pastor Charles, there's something that I'm a little confused about. Now, pastors, in fact, us church people, are supposed to be very solemn and serious. But to be honest, my family has had a great day, and we're going to continue to have a great evening. As for you, pastors are really supposed to be serious and quiet. But that sounds like fun where you are. What's going on?
Well, first of all, Jim, Christians should have peace and joy. It's believers who have more right and even a responsibility to joy than others. However, before I explain more about that, let's begin our evening, as we always say, the right way, and that's with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can come together and not only share this time on the radio with our listeners, but also just to be able to stop and say thank you, Lord. We do have a time of thanksgiving, and we do celebrate. And there is reason for joy, because we feel your presence. And I just pray, dear God, that you would give us wisdom and understanding as we study your word, as we celebrate life, and as we really do take time to have a time of thanksgiving. I just pray, dear God, that you'll help us to have everything work right, work well, come together, and that you would comfort our listeners that they, too, are having a blessed time. And for those who might be feeling a little alone, we just pray that you would refresh them and help them to feel your presence in a very wonderful, special way. And all these things we ask, dear God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, Jim, I know that it may sound strange to say that we have a right and a responsibility to joy. But let me explain, and the best way to explain is with a couple of verses. In Philippians 4:7, we read, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So, first of all, understand that's giving us that internal peace. That's setting us, in a sense, to be able to be stable in a world that often feels rather shaky. Most people in this world are troubled, unhappy, if you will, because they lack peace. Yet the Bible tells us that we have a peace that passes all understanding. Now then in Mark 12:33 we read, "And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Mm-hmm. In other words, we have peace and we have understanding that others don't seem to appreciate or, in fact, understand. We even have freedom from some of the sacrifices from the past that believers went through, both in the Old Testament and then even times that, you know, people have just simply gone through incredible turmoil. But we have been given freedom and to know that we, in fact, have Christ has made his sacrifice on the cross once for all. So we became freed up to love and to celebrate in ways never known before. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, a couple of things. First, you said others don't seem to appreciate or understand, and you can see that by the stress in their face.
Mm-hmm.
But I love what you say here, once for all on
yes.
the cross. You know, it's never about what you do. It's always about what Jesus did. I love that.
Absolutely.
But you still haven't explained why you're in Lafayette. Can pastors really get that happy?
Absolutely, and Christians should too. Well, first of all, if you can't be happy around Cajun people, then probably your happy button was broken. Need to get that fixed. You know, these are great people with a great culture. And let me tell you something a little bit about the area. To give you an example, when I came closer into the area, I mean, when you're on the highway, that's not a big deal. But once you get off the highway and start finding your way around, my GPS failed. And, you know, if you've gotten used to using electronics, after a while, you don't have the paper around this backup and you start to get turned around pretty quick. A total stranger stopped and spent time helping me with directions. And when he asked where I was going, I explained to them I was going to a place called Café de Maman, which is some great eating, by the way. So he had his smartphone out there, and I'm thinking he's getting traffic directions. Instead, he suddenly placed a phone call and explained that he had a stranger with him, meaning me, and he was asking the people to make sure that they would hold lunch for me so that I wouldn't miss my meal. Now, that's something that people don't often do anymore, but that's just the kind of people you run into in Lafayette, just great folks. So then I went on to Vermilionville, Café de Maman, had red beans, rice, sausage, gumbo, chicken, fried pork chops, mustard greens, and sausage, homemade biscuits and bread pudding, and that was just the appetizers. I mean, you know, these are great people.
Yes, they are.
Well, you know, Baptists have quite a reputation for an appetite, and, you know, I had a reputation on the line, had to maintain, of course. But if you're not familiar with Vermilionville, it's just an incredible area. It was originally actually a Cajun village that was settled, and these were people that had migrated so far to find peace, to set up their own way of life. And what's interesting is these were strong Catholics from their heritage, and they settled in, and they first thing they wanted to build was a chapel. And they contacted Rome and said that they wanted to have their own chapel. Rome said, great, do it. Then they asked for a priest to come. The priest came on out, and he saw these people basically living in a swamp area, ready to live off the land and eat mud bugs and Creole living. And apparently they couldn't find a priest who would come down there. And here's what's interesting. These people decided and said, well, you know, we have people and we have a Bible, and that'll be enough for us. And so what happened is the men of the community took turns getting up and reading from the scriptures. And when they needed to make decisions about how to run their community, they simply relied on the Bible. And so it became a very interesting community because they probably fared better with just a good Bible and the wisdom to trust God than they would have with somebody religious coming in. And an amazing situation and just a great community. And so the area now is a combination, almost sort of like touristy, but I'd say about 70 or 80% of the homes that are there in this little village are the original homes that have been maintained, and then others have been reconstructed in the same way. So you can come and tour the area or go to the restaurant or learn about some of the music and things like that. Another little place in town is called Prejean's with great music. In fact, that's where I had Thanksgiving dinner with good fresh gator meat, corn mac stew, baked potato, Louisiana honey, and homemade biscuits. I mean, you got to admit, nothing says Thanksgiving like fresh gator meat. I hear there's some liberals out there that go for turkey, but, you know, when you got fresh gator meat, enjoy it.
Wow.
You know, by the way, one other thing. I am thankful for the great local musicians there at Prejean's. They're known as Timon Day. And in fact, here's a little sample of some of their music. to give you a feeling for what their music is like. And, you know, one of the things I appreciate about just about all Cajun music, it's not off color, it's not anything like that. Cajun people just have a natural affinity to family. So as a result, it tends to usually be very positive, very upbeat, and just enjoyable. Jamie, you said, you know, why take the show out like this? And it's just the fact that, you know, if we really want to reach people, if we want to communicate with people, I think the best way to do that is go out and meet the people. So I'm thankful for the people who listen to us, who share with us, who study with us. But it's fun to get out there and talk with them and get some of their ideas and see what's going through their heart and mind. After all, you have to agree, this is a great way to enjoy Thanksgiving.
Well, it does sound like a lot of fun, you know. I think we're really blessed to live in America. After all, what do other people do in the world that do not have Thanksgiving? After all, Thanksgiving is an American holiday. What do others do?
Well, Jim, I understand how you could feel that way, but you know, did you know that the idea of Thanksgiving goes much farther back than most people even realize? We think of it as America, but for example, I want you to read the following passage from Leviticus, and I know Leviticus doesn't sound like a Thanksgiving kind of passage, but share this with us, Jim. Leviticus 7, verses 9 through 13.
All right, Pastor, just a moment. Okay, and all the meat offering that is baking in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan, and in the pan, shall be the priest that offereth it. And every meat offering, mingled with oil, and dry, shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, of fine flour, fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Wow, nice feast and plentiful.
And, you know, you have to admit, that sounds like they're about to have a Thanksgiving feast there. And there may have been a little Cajun flavor there, considering so much of it got fried up. But the, you know, and I don't want to be sacrilegious about that. I realize this was a peace offering. But think about it. This was very practical ways of bringing in a food offering, to have it prepared. And the ones who were working there and the priests, they were provided for as well. But notice, it wasn't just sin offerings that were being made during that time. There were offerings that were being made that were an offering of thanksgiving. So you, a person, bringing a peace offering, could also give it as an offering of thanksgiving. And we should be grateful to God for his blessings on our lives.
Well, I certainly agree with that. But for a lot of people tonight, that may not be so easy. With inflation the way it is, wars, rumors of wars overseas, even the debts we carry as a nation, how can we be running around laughing and carrying on every day? Are we really supposed to be doing that when life can be so hard?
Well, first of all, Jim, let me emphasize the word joy rather than happy. You know, it's one of the things that frustrates me sometimes when I see something that's called Christian programming. And yet, I hear this message almost coming across, well, if you're not jumping up and down and grinning like you've got some kind of a problem, then you don't have Christianity. And that's not Christianity. There is something called joy discussed in the Bible that is this sense of reliance on God, of knowing that He's the one who loves, who cares for us, provides for us, watches over us. That gives you joy. That gives you peace. You know, happy can be really situational. If you're having a good day, you can be happy. If you're having a bad day, just all the kind of things you were talking about, it's hard to be happy. But joy is something different. Even when you have the difficult times, there's a peace. That's what the scripture talked about earlier we read, that passes all understanding. So, you know, I've heard people describe joy like an acronym. J, Jesus. O, others. Y, yourself. If you put our priorities in that order, God first, then others, then ourselves, you know, it does give us a different way of looking at things. And I think the fact that what we really have a hold of as believers and our responsibility to remember is that in Christ, we really do have joy.
Well, you know, Pastor, it makes me remember when we get calls on our prayer line and we're praying with people, one of the things that I point out, because I believe this so sincerely, is we have been taught all our lives to be self-reliant. Comb your hair, brush your teeth, get your homework done, get a job, go to college, you know, promotions. We're taught to be self-reliant. And I think we need to get the word out that that's not the way Jesus designed us, that we are to rely, you used the word earlier, reliance on God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a change in attitude. It's a change in awareness, I think, when you think, wait a minute. Now I realize God didn't create me to handle everything that's going to come into my life. That's the reason I rely on God. That's a good point. Joy. Relying on God. I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, even in Houston, we even have an entire building that's called the Reliant. But, you know, I'm trying to be a good sport about that. But anyway, you're right. You know, if all we are is self-reliant, we've got the wrong source of power.
We don't need God.
Oh, and that's a big lie from the enemy then, because once we do that and we start relying on our own selves, that's the times we get in trouble. That's the time joy goes out the window.
Yep.
But, man, to have the peace of God, to trust in God, to rely on Him, you know, when that happens, then life can be exciting. Because regardless of what happens, you realize that He's your source for peace. He's the one that's meeting your every need, and that makes it totally different. So, Jim, before we get back to Thanksgiving, being largely American, let me share with you some ideas and some perspectives about Thanksgiving. And, you know, we could get this from a lot of different people, but I was here today with a lot of folks from this area, some traveling. So let's get the perspectives about Thanksgiving from some Cajun people, local residents, holiday travelers. I mentioned before, wonderful Americans from the Lafayette area. By the way, as you listen, I want you and our listeners to notice a common theme, a theme of Thanksgiving. You know, they didn't focus on what they did not have. They focused on the good health that they do have.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with Rose Pisatolo, just a great lady that was here and having a message to share. I want you to hear this.
Rose Pisatolo.
And Rose, where's home for you?
Originally New Orleans, but I now live in Doosan.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And you have a large family?
Large enough. There's six of us in the immediate family.
So what will be a typical Thanksgiving for you?
Oh, turkey, loved ones, all kinds of really homemade from scratch cooking.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Including all our cookies, pies. This is the time of the year we do almost everything from scratch.
Oh, that's great.
My brother's coming in from New Orleans to stay with us a while, and it's just going to be lovely having the kids and everything. My nephew's living with me now, and it's just going to be wonderful. It's all family-oriented.
So if you had to pick one thing, what are you most thankful for this year?
I guess it would be the gift of family and love.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Like my nephew said, in reference to my dog, because we love our pets too, Gracie the dog, he said that, I said Gracie's made out of gold because she's such a good-hearted dog.
Mm-hmm.
And Vinny told me, no, Aunt, she's made out of love, and love is better than gold.
Isn't that true?
He said that. And then, you know, you have to You know, like the scripture tells us, the words of wisdom come from the mouths of children, and it does. And you have to keep that in mind.
Yes.
Love and family's most important thing. Good friends that helped us when we first moved here.
Mm-hmm.
Willie, Marianne, all the good people in this parish that helped us when we first moved here. That's important. So that's what you have to concentrate on Thanksgiving, what you have, not what you don't have.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Isn't that great, Jim? And I love that statement about, you know, focusing on what you have, not what you don't have.
Great, great lesson right there. I love that.
Also, for folks from out of the area may not be familiar with that phrase, when she referred to people from her parish, what they're referring to, of course, is in Louisiana we have parishes, not counties. So that's just a local term that's a little different. But the other thing she spoke of was the gift of family and love. That's what she was most thankful for. And really, that is so true. And as a way of life, to make that your focus, God first, having Christ in your heart and your mind. And when you have that priority, then you're in that best position to encourage, to strengthen your family with a godly love that really does sustain you and take you through the most difficult of times. Another lady we had a chance to speak with was Amelia Mowry. And again, a lady of great thanks.
Amelia Mowry.
And where's home?
Lafayette, Louisiana.
Wonderful. And do you have a lot of family here in the area?
We have family dispersed kind of everywhere.
Okay, will you all be able to get together for Thanksgiving?
No, unfortunately, no. We're kind of, each one's doing things with their own immediate little families.
Sure. You know. So what does Thanksgiving mean for you?
A time of giving thanks for the things you have. Noticing the things that you were blessed with and spending the time with your family to show them how thankful you are for them.
Great. And so if you had to pick one thing, what are you most thankful for?
I think our health. The health, our whole family is pretty healthy, and okay, even though we're, you know, getting up in age, we're all pretty healthy, and I'm really thankful for that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Jim, what do you think?
Well, as I remember, you know, I think of Cajun people, and I think of the great cooking. I think I shared with you once that I went to school there at the School of Latin Terms Marketing at the Southwestern Louisiana. It was one of the greatest weeks I've spent in my entire life. It's just wonderful people, and they all act like they're so glad to see you, like you might be even related.
It's
wonderful.
There are no strangers in this part of the country, and that's just a wonderful feeling to experience. Another great lady that we had a chance to speak with was Shante Boudreaux. And one of the things I liked, and in fact, it's sort of funny, most of the people we spoke with, I've shared to this, but probably I shared with our listeners, is that they immediately, you know, started sort of, you know, checking their hair and, you know, making sure they looked just right. So I was kind enough to remind them it's radio. But, you know, it's funny how our first instinct is we want to make that first best impression. But I think that gets back to what you said, is that when you're in this area, there's no such a thing as a stranger. They will take you in and let you feel like family, and that's just a wonderful experience. So here's Shante's thoughts on Thanksgiving.
Can I have your name, please?
Shante Boudreaux.
And Shante, where's home for you?
Lafayette, Louisiana.
And what is it that you'll be able to do this Thanksgiving?
Spend time with family, eat all the good Cajun food. Thinking about going out of town, but I'm not too sure. There's enough family out here for me to have all that good Thanksgiving gathering.
Great. And so what would be your favorite thing about Thanksgiving?
Celebrating, bringing the family back again all together, because it's not too often we can see each other. It's just around holidays. So Thanksgiving is one of the holidays where all the aunties get together, go to grandma's house, cook, and just have fun.
And if you had one thing to be most thankful for this year, what would it be?
That I'm alive.
Okay.
Yeah. And perfect health.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Isn't that a great attitude? I mean, with all that's going on and how the importance of family to be able to spend that time together.
You know,
you
keep hearing the word health, and I think you have to be older. Mm-hmm. And by that, I don't know what age that is, but I always took health for granted. You know, I've always been healthy. I've been so blessed in that area. and then you see people around you, loved ones and you know, friends alike, that it hasn't been that way for them. And so what is there? You know, we use in the insurance business, we say we spend most of our time building our wealth, and we give up our health, and then we take our wealth and try to regain our health. So it's irreplaceable.
Oh, it's so true. And, you know, we do need to take care of that. You know, as believers, I think sometimes we just say, well, I'm going to burn the candle at both ends, because after all, I'd rather burn out serving God than anything else. And yet, and this may seem like an odd use of the word, but I think there's a matter of stewardship here. We need to care for our families and care for our own personal health, because how can you witness to people if you're not able to physically get out to the task of witnessing, sharing, ministering to people? It's hard to visit homebound people if you yourself are homebound. And yet, don't take that the wrong way. I know we've got some homebound people that are incredible witnesses, powerful testimonies. God winds up bringing the people to them. But, you know, if we take care of ourselves and take care of our families, we're able to do so much more. And so, no, it's a definite strong motivation to value your health and to take care of that and be good stewards of that resource.
You know, Pastor, I was just going to add, you know how it's really a gift from God, I believe, because I've seen people, as you know, I'm a runner, and I'm out in Memorial Park in Houston here a lot, and there's been people out there that have, you know, had heart attacks while working out and things like that. So I do believe health is a gift from God, and we do everything we can to keep the tent in good order, because it does house the Holy Spirit.
That's very true. And another family we got to speak with briefly, and we'll start to sort of wrap up at least this part, spoke with Tim and Stephanie and their daughter Savannah Payne, who were there, and a great family, being able to have some time. And you had mentioned the university earlier. It's interesting that Savannah was on her way to come check out a school, and so it's nearing that time to move on to college and study at the university. So we'll hear from them now what their thoughts about the Thanksgiving time is.
Tim Payne.
And
Stephanie Payne.
And where's home?
Calhoun, Louisiana.
Marvelous. And are you here in Lafayette for the holidays?
We come down for a visit at ULL. My daughter's thinking about going to school there.
Excellent, excellent. And your name?
Savannah Payne.
Savannah. And so what do you think about the idea?
I'm excited.
Thank you so much. Now tell me, what does Thanksgiving mean for you?
It's a time of the year where you kind of stop and rest a little bit, get together with family, and just be thankful for what God's given us and blessed us with.
And this year you're sort of on the road, so where will you be spending Thanksgiving?
Well, we're actually going back home, but we'll spend some time with our grandparents and our parents and nieces and nephews, and just kind of get together and act a fool.
If you had to think about what would be the one thing
with
this country you're truly thankful for?
Ooh, wow. God has shown us so much favor this year. Let me see. I'm glad you're giving me this. I think with my daughter being a senior, I've really paid attention to just how precious your children are. So I think this year, my children.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
I'd say family, just extended family.
Very good. And how about you? What's your thing you're most thankful for from the past year?
Probably just I've had a lot of doctor's appointments throughout the year, and probably just knowing that everything is going back the right way.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Just blessed.
And one final question. What does Thanksgiving mean to you?
What does Thanksgiving mean? time to be thankful.
And you?
What does it mean to me? I have to agree with that. It's just a moment whenever, in time in this year that you just sit back and you just realize how good it is.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Excellent. I thank you all. Really appreciate it.
You know, Jim, I don't know if you could hear the one part in there when I asked the question about what are you most thankful for? And Stephanie said that was a great question. And, you know, she took a few moments to think about it and then gave her answer.
Yeah.
And then I asked her husband that question. I don't know if you could hear it in the background. Before he could hardly start to answer, she jumped in and said, "Your wife." So to Tim and all the other husbands out there, remember to be very thankful for your wives. That's truly a God-given blessing, and I hope you all truly appreciate each other. But a great family, and again, a great time to share with some of those folks. By the way, Jim, did I mention that great Cajun music at Frajon's, and the little group that was out there that night was known as Timon Day? And here's another short little sample of their music for folks to enjoy.
Right.
Now, you have to admit, those are happy people. Perhaps some attitudes that are largely American. In fact, why don't we take some time to share with our Ask the Pastor family some of our American heritage?
That sounds great. So I suppose you're referring to our Pilgrim's heritage?
The very least. And in fact, in some ways, yes. But in fact, I think that it's truer than most realize. You start with a group of immigrants, the Pilgrims, coming to our shores, being received by the locals, the American Indian. Add in some misunderstandings about who's savage and who's ignorant, and then you blend in God, and something marvelous happens. The American way of life and a reason to be grateful. Thanksgiving, if you will. Jim, why don't you start by setting the scene?
I'd be happy to, Pastor. In fact, it may surprise many people to know that there were several incidents of showing the Thanksgiving attitudes as a time to focus on God and His blessings that date back before the Pilgrims. For example, such Thanksgiving times occurred in 1554 at Palo Duro Canyon in Texas with Coronado and 1,500 of his men. Later in 1564 at St. Augustine, Florida, which I think is the oldest city in the United States, if I'm not mistaken, in 1598 at El Paso, Texas, with Juan de Onate and his expedition, in 1607 at Cape Henry in Virginia with the landing of the Jamestown settlers, in 1619 at Berkeley Plantation, Virginia, and many others. But when most people think of Thanksgiving, they think of the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims set sail for America in September 6, 1620, and for 2 months braved the harsh elements of a storm-tossed sea. Upon disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they held a prayer service and then hastily began building shelters. However, the reality was that they were not prepared for the harsh climate, and especially winter in New England. Nearly half of them died before spring. After coming through that horrible winter, the Pilgrims were surprised when an Indian came to them. He was named Samoset. He came to them and greeted them in English. Wow, that had to be a surprise.
Definitely.
He explained that he had learned the language from fishermen and traders. A week later, he came back with a friend named Squanto. He lived with the Pilgrims and accepted Christ as his Savior. In addition, during this time, Squanto taught the Pilgrims about local crops and techniques to survive in the new land. The Pilgrims established a treaty with the local Indians, and Pilgrim Governor William Bradford described Squanto as a special instrument sent of God for their good. He never left the Pilgrims until his death. That summer, the Pilgrims continued in prayer and were assisted by the Indians. As a result, they had a bountiful harvest. In 1621, the Pilgrims declared a three-day feast to thank God and to celebrate with the Indians. Interestingly enough, this first Thanksgiving festival, with 90 Wampanoag Indians and 50 Pilgrims, included shellfish, lobster, turkey, cornbread, berries, deer, and other foods. Another interesting element is that while they celebrated this time of great harvest, they also had times of drought and hardship. In 1623, they experienced a very long and difficult drought. When this happened, Governor Bradford called for a time of prayer and fasting for God's intervention. As they prayed, the Indians watched. In amazement, there began to be a gentle rain that helped the land and the harvest. And this proved to be a great witness to the local Indians of the power of God and prayer. You know, you look at the word rain, and we had a drought last year in Houston. It killed a great deal of the trees in Memorial Park. And I don't recall in my lifetime ever thanking God for rain. And, you know, we take that for granted, but the, you know, the Bible talks many times, Pastor, about God giving us rain, because back then, if I'm not mistaken, we were a majority agrarian society. And without the rain, we couldn't eat. So I think we take a lot for granted, and this helps us see that even rain is something we should be thankful for.
Well, that's so very true. And there's so many resources that our nation has been blessed with. I mean, America has a sampling of just about every kind of terrain you can think of. And for us to be so blessed and not to appreciate it and not to give thanks for it would be simply wrong. Jim, thank you so much for sharing that. It seems there is so much history that is missing from our school systems and even the basic textbooks that are in use. Yet truth remains truth, and it's worth repeating. For example, did you realize that those people who served our country in the first Congress in 1789, on September 25th, according to congressional record, completed their work on the Bill of Rights, and then Mr. Elias Boudinot said he would not think of letting the session pass without offering an opportunity for all the citizens of the United States to join in one voice in returning to Almighty God their sincere thanks for the many blessings that he had poured down upon them. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like the Congress we have today.
It does not.
That's sad, because, I mean, we need to recognize where every blessing has ever come from in our lives came from God.
Yes.
Now, this Mr. Elias went on and said he made the following resolution that was sent to then President George Washington, quote, resolved that a joint committee of both houses be directed to wait upon the President of the United States to request that he would recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Jimmy, you might be interested in knowing that President Washington wasted no time in issuing that proclamation. Here are some of his words. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. Now, therefore, I do appoint Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, that we may all unite to render unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection. You know, Jim, there are many others in our government today that in the years that followed acknowledged, or rather, from Washington State forward, that acknowledged and thanked God. And what I like best is that they called Him God, not just some higher power. It's almost like they knew who they were talking about, perhaps in praying, too. I think that people only really get broad and vague when talking about God when they don't really know who they're talking about.
Yeah.
But if you have a personal relationship with Him, you are very comfortable speaking with Him. You are very comfortable incorporating Him into your daily life. Jim, I know there are a lot more of these statements by various leaders, and more than we really have time to cover. So we'll place some of these on our website for people to go to and read more about. If you agree with that idea, why not share where they can find that information?
Great idea, Pastor. The site is www.rightlions.com. Now that's www.rightlions.com. You know, Pastor, I had a few minutes before the show and I got on Right Lions. There is a lot of resources on here, including a couple of books that you've written. And I haven't had time to go through all this, but there is a plethora of resources that folks might enjoy seeing. So I strongly recommend you go to www.rightlions.com.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate those kind words. And I do encourage people to go there. We take the time to try to add resources there because our desire, our passion, is how people come to know God better. If they've never accepted Christ as Savior, to do so. And if you are a Christian, to find tools, resources, ideas to just help you recognize God as one who's in your daily walk, not as somebody that you just bring in for Christmas and holidays. He is our strength. He is our passion. And it does take a real working relationship with him to make life special. There's
you
one
know,
more thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if nothing else, they've got to go to that site to see. I love bold color. And your website is just fantastic. You've done a great job of organizing it. I can find stuff quickly, and it's just it's not passive. It's very strong in color. I love it.
Well, thank you.
Sorry,
appreciate
I had to get that in. I'm not paid to do that, am I?
Oh, no, definitely. there is one more passage I wanted to share that came a little bit later. It was by Josiah Bartlett, then governor and commander-in-chief of the state of New Hampshire. By the way, if you recognize that name at all, Josiah Bartlett was one of the signers of our Declaration of Independence. And here's what he had to say. The many favors the inhabitants of this state, referring back to New Hampshire, have been made the subjects in the court of the current year call for the public return of a sincere gratitude and a praise to that being from whom all mercies flow. I have thought it fit, and with the advice of counsel, to issue this proclamation exhorting the people of every denomination to dedicate said day to the duties of thanksgiving and praise, and to devote a reasonable part thereof in their respect to places of worship in a social manner, with grateful hearts and united voices, and returning our most humble and hearty thanks to Almighty God for the unmerited favors he has been graciously pleased to confer upon us in the course of the present year, drawing to a close. Jim, this proclamation goes on and only continues to do one thing. It just gets stronger about how much we are dependent upon and should be thankful to our God.
You know, there's a couple of things I underlined here when I was listening. Advice of counsel. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
With the advice of counsel. Now, how could we ever get a counsel to agree on anything? It's like a committee. And then
right.
He also said the duties.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of that. Duties of thanksgiving and praise. And you know, I heard it said recently that people that come to church late come for the preaching. At least they come, and they're there for the preaching. But
right.
It's to get something. That those that get there early and join in the singing and the glorifying and the praise are giving.
Mm.
And so worship should be giving and getting. And so I think this underscores it. And then the last thing I noticed, you said, unmerited. That
yes.
Almost sounds like grace, the word grace.
Very true.
Unmerited. We don't deserve it. For some reason, God loves us enough to give it to us. It's revolutionary. It's a departure from what we're used to, isn't it?
It is, but it's a wonderful thing to willingly acknowledge our dependence on God and to accept his unmerited favor, his love, his grace. That is recognizing where the blessings are coming from Almighty God.
What about our hymns? Are the hymns not largely made up of praise and thanksgiving, Pastor?
Yeah, that's very true. In fact, the psalmist David brought us that we should praise the Lord. That's what he taught us. He emphasized countless times as you read through the scriptures. And amazing as you read through the Psalms, the times that he was going through extremely difficult moments, and yet he offered up praise to God. I think it can be considered a very powerful form of thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And think about this hymn. I mean, there's so many of our hymns that really are hymns of thanksgiving. The Wesley brothers sent word of their conversion to their sainted mother, Susanna, who didn't know what to make of it. By the way, interestingly enough, one of these two brothers was not only religious, people thought he was saved, he was actually pastoring at the time. This one of the more reasons that made it so shocking. And this is what his mother said: "I think you have fallen into an odd way of thinking." She replied, "You say that till within a few months you had no spiritual life and no justifying faith. I heartily rejoice that you have attained to a strong and lively hope in God's mercy through Christ. Not that I can think that you were totally without saving faith before, but it is one thing to have faith and another thing to be sensible that we have it." And now you see, because this one man, the world thought he was saved. He knew he wasn't. He knew he was faking it. And then he accepted Christ. So here's his mother looking at his life saying, you know, it didn't seem like you needed a change. But then I love that phrase. It's one thing to have faith, another thing to be sensible that we have it. Mm. Now, there's no getting around that Charles Wesley had a changed life. Ironically, he had been preaching. Now, instead of reading his sermons, he began preaching them extemporaneously. In other words, he just came up to the pulpit and began delivering what God had put on his heart. Everything else up to that time had been very mechanical. Now there was a passion behind it. So on the anniversary of his conversion, he wrote an 18-stanza hymn. And later, verse 7 became a hymn all of its own. And it goes like this: "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumph of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of thy name."
Wow. You know, Pastor, while you're reading this, I just had a thought. I thought, what is God doing right now? I would say he's looking down on us, in America particularly, and he's seeing us take time out. And I'd say most of us are recognizing we didn't create ourselves. We don't have a mind for something that we created. Our mind is God's creation. Our heart, our emotions, the fact that I can hear, see, he must be smiling right now. I think he's proud of us, don't you?
I certainly hope so, because it's, you know, we're just in our own human flesh, but we do try to put him first. And I think when we take time to get into his word, to try to minister to the body of Christ, and to try to come back amidst all the busyness that we can set up for ourselves and say, thank you, God, I think that's got to be something special to him. Imagine how a parent feels when a child takes the time to come back and say thank you. Think, as tender as that is, it pales in comparison to how God must feel when we remember to say, thank you, Lord. Jim, I think you have to agree that to be thankful is a part of having the right spirit and the right heart before God. Why don't we take a short break, and then we'll come right back, and let's look at a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament that shows a great example of thanksgiving. As we pause now, let's enjoy a little bit more of Cajun music. In fact, we'll let them roll us into a little spot to remind people about some of our five resources.
Wonderful.
Please remember that our previous broadcasts are available as archives on both Blog Talk Radio and our website at brightlions.com. In addition, if you'd like a free item that we've discussed during the broadcast, please send an email to more@brightlions.com. That's more, M-O-R-E, at rightlions.com. Just put the word free in the subject line and include your name, city, and state in the body of the email.
And I thank you again for that great music. And Jim, as we begin, with the scripture. Let's start it right. Let's start it with prayer. Would you lead us in prayer tonight?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, where do we begin to thank you for all that you have provided, how you've created us each individually after your own heart? We, Father, just don't know where to start. Everything we have, everything we hope to be, everything that is because you love us. And Father, you've told us in Scripture, if we will humble ourselves and return to you, confess our sins, that you would heal our land. Lord, we have men and women right now in arms protecting this country under God. Oh, Lord, keep us mindful. I pray, Father, that each of those will return safely. Father, there's conflict in Israel. We pray, Lord, that it continues this ceasefire. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless our nation, protect us, keep your hedge of protection around us. And Father, this day just helps us remember we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. And thank you so much. This is a time of Thanksgiving, and this may seem an odd little passage to jump back to, but I want you to think for a moment from the book of Genesis in chapter 8, verses 15 through 22. And we're talking about Noah, of course, in that passage. And you say, well, Thanksgiving? I mean, didn't Noah have to build an ark? Wasn't there a complete destruction of the world? And it just seems like, how could that be a time of Thanksgiving? Well, the world had come to a point of they had left God out of virtually everything in their lives. They put their own selfish desires ahead and didn't have time for God. And because of that, it reached a point where there was a time of judgment that had to come. God wouldn't have been God if he had allowed everything that was evil to continue and prosper without any element of thankfulness to a holy God. Hmm. And as a result, the time came that judgment did have to begin. And he searched throughout the world and he found just one individual, his family, that God could count on, and that was Noah. And so Noah was given the plans, the instructions to build the ark for deliverance. And as you know, there were animals brought on the ark, and clean and unclean and in sufficient numbers to bring about the sustaining of life on our earth. And I know people debate and wonder about it, but they forget the sheer volume of life that is waterbound or airbound. But if God directed it, that is sufficient to know that it happened. The fact that we're having this time together lets you know that life continued. And the time on the ark had to be shocking, amazing. The work that went about in that space to care for the animals, to see the growth of the animals, all of that. The continued hearing, and what I like about that time on the ark, if you think about it, Jim, imagine the noises that they heard, the sounds. Now, you know, modern naval people have done mock-ups of the ark and the computers and run the tests and the simulations. So it's the most stable vessel you can conceive of in the most turbulent of waters. And that is life in Christ. That's life within the local church. It is a point of stability in a life of turmoil, in a world of turmoil. And yet they could hear the sounds outside, know what was going on to some degree. Yeah. And then the ark came to rest and the waters parted. And then the time was told when God instructed them to come out. And that's where we pick up in verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. I love the fact that one of his first priorities was to build an altar to the Lord and to give up an offering. Now, he built it. And what I love is the Hebrew word there is bonah, meaning to build and a cause to continue. In other words, his intent was not to just put up, you know, this wasn't camp out. This wasn't, all right, let's just put up something temporary. He built an altar unto God that was designed to continue. And then when it talks about the clean beast, I want people to understand it's ceremonial clean. It's there are certain animals that are identified with different ideas and purposes in mind. We don't have time to go into that for now. We'll do that another time. But just to understand that God was providing and caring for the health of his people, even in recognizing certain animals that would have been better and safer to eat under the climates, under the conditions that they had. So there's things that carry forth in God's wisdom that we don't always understand. But if we trust, we find out usually later that it made sense. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for a man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything as I have done. There's a couple of things there to think about. It's an anthropomorphism, a fancy word, but it means attributing human characteristics and purposes to God. And so when
smell
we talk
the sweet savor.
Right. That's
right.
So what we mean there, that's the closest we can comprehend to how God reacted to it. Mm-hmm. If he was human, he would have been taking that in as something fresh and aromatic and bringing a blessing to him. In other words, God's people getting it right, remembering to pray and offer up thanksgiving. And then that little phrase towards the end where he says, the imagination of man's heart was evil from his youth, I'm reminded of Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Remember, folks, we got the old sin nature out there.
Yes.
But then, from Genesis verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. In other words, God's faithful. We offered up a prayer of thanksgiving. Noah offered up a prayer of thanksgiving. God's people stop sometimes from all the other things they're doing, and they offer up a prayer. It's like the good folks in Lafayette that we're thankful for the good health, for the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop as a people from time to time just to stop and say thank you, God. So I would hope that as we've gathered together tonight, maybe this was a little unusual for you on your Thanksgiving Day. You've done a lot of things for the course of the day. Hopefully you've been able to spend some time with family. If not, please consider us family and you spend time with us. As you go to bed tonight, reflect, refresh, give thanks to God, because he's the one that has blessed you with life, an abundant life of opportunities to trust him, to love him, to know him better. And I'm hoping you're going to join us again next week, because believe it or not, Jim, time has run out again, and we need to redeem the time to serve God. Don't you agree?
I do, and I just can't wait to see where you're going to call from next week. Where are we headed next?
I think we'll be back in beautiful downtown Houston, and we'll be landing in 1 Peter chapter 3. So we encourage everybody to listen with us. For those from Lafayette, I thank you for making me feel at home. And wherever you had Thanksgiving, I trust it has been a blessing time, and I hope this time next week, Lord willing, that you will join us in studying God's Word, praying and celebrating and giving thanks once again.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@rightlions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.brightlyons.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.